Indianapolis Neighborhood Housing Partnership, INHP, celebrating a quarter century, 25 years of service, helping to keep the dream of homeownership alive here in Indianapolis and Marion County. And Tom Burns was the big speaker at INHP's keynote community breakfast. In fact, he kind of remembers how all of this got started, and he joins me on our live line. Doc, how you doing?
I am doing well, and I'm happy to be on this conversation.
There are people listening who may be living in INHP homes, have heard about it over the years, but can't remember how it got started. I even have forgotten how it got started. And I understand that one of the great community servant leaders in the history of Indianapolis, Tom Binford, had something to do with all this.
He had a great deal to do with it, and I had the privilege of rereading a little memo that he wrote, which was the product of a task force that I think met during 1987 when Mayor Hudnut was still in office.
Mm-hmm.
And that task force, really to this day, remains the sort of Bible for how INHP has operated, how it was structured, and how it's operated. And that task force, I think, laid the groundwork for the results that we heard a great deal about this morning at INHP's breakfast, where we got to see examples of 10 or so families who were living proof of the effectiveness of the homeownership development, counseling, financing programs that INHP has been operating for so many years now.
An argument could be made that if the rest of the country had handled homeownership or getting people their first entry into homeownership the way INHP did it, we wouldn't have had some of the housing crisis that we had in the midst of the Great Recession.
Well, I think we all know that every place is different, but yeah. I mean, as a longtime observer of Indianapolis and as a guy who likes the numbers, I think there is clear proof here, at least, mm-hmm. that the homeowners who went through the INHP system and who really learned what they needed to know to be good homeowners, able to sort of stay on top of their responsibilities and managing their finances in a way that they have fared much better than their counterparts in places where there simply was not access to the level of training and information that has been available to people in Indianapolis. It's certainly true in Indianapolis.
We're talking with Dr. Tom Burns. He is Managing Director of Urban Ventures Group. He has done a lot of work in a lot of different cities all across the country in terms of revitalization and helping make neighborhoods come alive. What's the biggest challenge today, not just in older neighborhoods of Indianapolis, but other cities, in revitalizing the older neighborhoods of not only our big cities, but those suburbs that are close in to major cities?
I think we've got neighborhoods in competition with other places, some of them even farther away from the center of cities, as people seek good schools, safe neighborhoods, all the amenities that they want to have as part of what makes a good neighborhood. And I think Indianapolis is not alone in struggling with this problem of competing with communities farther away from the city center for all those things. And in a way, the problem is one of needing more people. We have got to find ways of positioning neighborhoods, not just the neighborhoods that we think of as being part of the traditional city core, but of all kinds of neighborhoods like the ones you've described,
right,
to have in place the kind of fundamental things that families want to have for themselves and their kids. And it does go to schools. It does go to safety. It does go to access to green and healthy things and all those things. And I think we're in a competition game. And Indianapolis has it as much as any other city.
One of the other challenges in cities, I grew up in Chicago, and one of the things that struck me was a shopping center that I went to as a kid, Evergreen Park, that now looks like something out of Beirut, looks like a war zone. It's just a huge abandoned regional shopping center on the fringe of Chicago and one of the close-in suburbs, and we have those kind of abandoned retail facilities here in Indianapolis and I'm sure in other cities. Is that another challenge for neighborhoods as shopping centers moved out? There are these abandoned retail zones that helped to cause a neighborhood to deteriorate.
Absolutely. People go for services. You can't get food. You can't get good food. Mm-hmm. If you live in parts of the city, we call them food deserts. Right. There's lots of stuff written about that. I think that access to these kind of basic aspects of what makes for good quality of life is the game. And thankfully, we're seeing reinvestment now in supermarkets and in just basic neighborhood services all over the country. And Indianapolis may not be as bad as other cities, but I've certainly been here enough to see that you have those same issues.
Who across the country, I know Indianapolis, we've had some great successes. Who's doing it right now? I mean, who is everybody talking about, buzzing about, hey, this is a city that they've got it going on, they're kind of doing it. Who's out there on the cutting edge of making our cities, particularly our older neighborhoods, more livable?
Well, let me start with your city of Chicago, mm-hmm. your home city.
Yeah.
I think Chicago remains an example of a city in which you have a lot of cooperation across the sectors and a real emphasis on reinvestment in neighborhoods in a more holistic way,
mm-hmm.
Really looking not just at the bricks and mortar and the abandoned shopping centers and industrial places in the neighborhood, but all sorts of services, good schools, better access to just the services we expect in a neighborhood. Chicago, I think, is among that handful of cities that we think are getting the pieces right. Long way to go, but right. I would say Chicago is a good example. I'm also doing a lot of work in Detroit these days, that is one difficult place
mm-hmm.
in which to begin to redo the kind of rebuilding that we're talking about. But we have examples in Detroit of parts of the city that are coming back. Despite the city's reputation, we have neighborhoods in which there are people moving back into blocks and sections of the city that have been losing population for 3-4 decades.
Let me ask you something, because you've been around a lot of cities. One of the issues that have come up in cities for years and years is the issue of gentrification, where young professional whites move back in to older neighborhoods of the cities. And what has always puzzled me is why we can't get young African-American professionals to also do the same thing. Is that changing now? So as older neighborhoods of cities get redeveloped, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Chicago, it's not just young white professionals moving back in, it's also young black professionals.
Yeah, I think the most inspirational thing I've seen about Detroit, just to stay on that city for another moment,
mm-hmm.
is the presence of exactly that group. Young African-Americans who are saying, this is my home, I grew up here, maybe I went away to school or I went away for work for a while, I want to come back, I want to be part of this rebuilding. And in Detroit, we see it. In a number of cities, not enough,
right.
We do see this reinvestment. And I do think it is the exact group you've talked about, the younger, perhaps better educated
mm-hmm.
folks who want an urban lifestyle, who want to be connected to all the things we've talked about, who may, for the moment, not be as concerned as others for school quality and even who might be able to tolerate a little less certainty about safety
mm-hmm.
for a while,
mm-hmm.
and they're the pioneers. who I think are really making this happen. And they're not just living in these places, they're creating businesses, and they're investing in civic organizations. And it's a new, if you like, flow of energy into places that we know have potential.
You mentioned businesses, and I know in parts of Chicago, neighborhoods that have turned around, it has not only been chain stores that have brought jobs in there, but it's also local entrepreneurs. Chicago is very much a storefront type business community. I believe Detroit is something similar to that. Indianapolis used to have that, got away from that, trying to come back. That now we talked the other day with some of the neighborhoods on the northeast side of the city that are working on a quality of life plan, and that's one of the things they talked about, encouraging more entrepreneurship in those neighborhoods, that's what's going to bring retail in. That's also what's going to bring in jobs.
I think you're right. I think it's entrepreneurship in all of its forms. And by that, I mean artsy stuff, creative people who want to kind of open up lofts and workspaces and create crafts and things like that, as well as all the variety of businesses that a neighborhood needs to be healthy. So it's all of it. It's entrepreneurship in the broadest sense.
With homeownership coming back, it seems the banks are, yeah, okay, we're going to get back into this, but you got to put more skin in the game than you did back in the 90s and in the first part of the first decade of this century. Does that open up opportunities for INHP clones in other communities across the country?
I think it absolutely does, and I'm glad you mentioned it. I think INHP is a model nationally. To this day, for blending public dollars with foundation money to sort of encourage and make use of the private capital from lenders of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
INHP was doing this before we were talking about the importance of doing it. It just became a way that the reinvestment began to happen in mortgages that enable people to move back into homes. And I think INHP has much to teach other cities.
Is
absolutely the right way to go.
How challenging is it, though, for an organization in their second 25 years? In other words, you know, an organization comes along, they do great when they start out, they do great when they hit 15, 20, 25. Now you're becoming in middle age in an organization. How do you keep the ideas fresh? How do you keep that youthful drive that a new organization possesses?
It's a great question. I think, as someone who is sort of might liken my own career and stage in life to the kind of stage of an organization like an INHP,
mm-hmm.
It's about new relationships and new challenges. And I think INHP, we now know, is doing as well, perhaps better than anywhere else in the country that I can think of, in relation to its particular signature homeownership development programs. But there are lots of other challenges in a city like Indianapolis, and INHP has gained the kind of confidence and the trust of others in the community. It's shown it has discipline about staying with the issues it's working on and measuring its results. That positions an organization to do new things because they've earned respect. And I would say it is that track record that positions INHP to seek to play new roles. We saw INHP stepping into the foreclosure crisis in Indianapolis some years ago. I could see INHP easily playing a large role with others, not alone, in figuring out how to manage the kind of attracting of new people to come back into neighborhoods, how to keep the balance in terms of mixes of income, equity, all those things, and to do it in a way that is of the highest quality and becomes a model for elsewhere. I mean, we heard this morning several people at this breakfast event comment on this being the beginning of a new period in which more things are possible because of the good work that's happened over the last few decades.
He is Dr. Tom Burns. He is Managing Director of Urban Ventures Group, but for more than three decades, he has been on the cutting edge dealing with these kind of issues in terms of neighborhood improvement, affordable housing, education, and workforce development. In other words, making our cities vibrant all across the country. And he was the keynote speaker at this year's Community Breakfast for INHP, celebrating their quarter century of service to the Indianapolis community. Dr. Tom Burns, thanks very much for being with us. Have a safe journey home.
Thank you so much.